Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to another Fiber New podcast. I'm Jesse Johnstone, your host over the next 45 minutes or so, in conversation with Fiber New franchisee Bill Betzel of Fiber New Palatine in the suburbs of Chicago. Bill started his franchise in September of 2018 and hasn't looked back since. In our chat, he talks about how he made the switch from corporate America and how he'll never, ever, ever, ever go back. We discussed how Bill appreciates the scalability of Fiber New and how he makes it work around his family's schedule, how he found his technician and how they work together today. He also describes how he talks about his business constantly with his neighbors, his fellow church members, his doctor, and how those conversations help fuel his business. Bill has a thriving franchise with Fiber New, and he's focused on keeping it both profitable and simple. He loves running his Fiber New franchise, and it shows quite clearly when you listen to him speak about it. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast because Bill shares a personal goal that he's striving for that's very unique and inspiring for the long haul. We hope you enjoyed listening into the conversation. Cheers. Bill, I know one thing you've clearly stated in past conversations, and you seem to stick to this, is that you never want to go back to corporate America. I wanted to start out with that question. What were you doing before you made the transition into business ownership with Fiber New? And then what are some of the differences that makes you have that philosophy that you never want to go back?
Sure. Yeah. So coming out of college, I started working at Motorola. I worked in customer service and in marketing for them, managing programs for their two-way radio dealers. From there, I went to Zebra Technologies, who now owns most of Motorola, and managed their marketing programs for printer dealers for all of North America and South America. And then moved from there to working in a joint venture with Ford and Navistar, where I was also managing marketing programs for Ford dealers in US and Canada. And then my last stop in the corporate world was working for my dad's business, which is a very small consulting firm that he has. And when I was there, it was me, my dad, my brother, and one other guy. So I've worked for the largest companies in the Chicago area and one of the smallest, although it's got twice as many people as Fiber New Palatine does. So I've worked in lots of different size companies. And throughout those 15 years between college and when I started Fiber New, I was always working for somebody else, and regardless of how hard I worked, nothing changed, right? I was not the only one responsible for how successful I was. I was tied to what somebody did in a department that had nothing to do with my part of the business did.
Right.
I was tied to people on other sides of the world and what their performance was. I was tied to the economy of Canada and South America and all the different parts of the United States. And I had no control over that. I could have the best year ever. And one year I did. I had my best year ever. And I had my annual review and I got an above average rating. And they said, now be careful, because now everybody's going to be watching what you do next year and are going to be coming after you.
Right.
I said, well, then I'm never going to do anything above the bare minimum that's required of me again for you guys. But with Fiber New, the harder I work, the more money I make. If I work extra hard on one day, I can be off early the next day and I can schedule myself to hit the goals that I have that my family has. You know, if we say this year we want to go on two vacations and redo the kitchen, which we did a couple years ago, I can work really, 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 really hard and make enough money to pay for my kitchen cash, you know, and be done with it. And then I can still go on my vacations. And then the next year, if I say we don't have any goals this year and it's going to be easy and we just want to, you know, get through life, then I can dial it back and I can work as much as I need to, you know, cover us and enjoy family time. And it's all on me and Jess and what we want to be able to accomplish, not what the corporate bosses have said you're going to accomplish.
In the lead up to transitioning out of having a job versus business ownership, how long did that take? I mean, were you and your wife Jess thinking a couple of years in advance of that, or did you just make a decision one day and it happened quickly? Do you remember how that transition?
No, you know, I never really had the inclination that I was going to start my own business because I never had an idea on my own.
Okay.
You know, and I never really looked at franchises because all I knew was restaurants. And, you know, my last job was working for my dad, and I kind of decided I'm done working for other people now, but I don't have any ideas of what I'm going to do. And so I ended up working with a franchise coach, and I worked with two different ones. After having, you know, conversations with both of them, they both recommended Fibernew. They had other recommendations for me, but they both recommended Fibernew. The first guy suggested it, and it sounded kind of crazy. And the second guy suggested it, and it sounded like, well, it still sounds crazy, but I should look at it a little more closely. And so I did. You know, I think, you know, before I started looking for a franchise, I still had my resume out on LinkedIn and Indeed, and I was looking for just the next corporate job. And, you know, if something had popped, I probably would have done it and would have still been miserable doing it. You know, I didn't like it, but that's what you do, right? Like that's the easy path that everybody can go down.
Right.
You know, having your own business is not an easy path. It's a much more rewarding path though. And, probably more people could go down it than think they can. But it takes a big leap of faith. You know, prior to Fibernew, I wasn't even interested in taking jobs that paid on commission, because the uncertainty of what you would make month to month was just like more risk than I was willing to take. And I didn't really have anything to risk at that point. It was fine. I had an apartment that I rented with a roommate. My rent was $500 a month. I probably could have taken a commission job, but instead I waited till I have my house and two kids and then decided, well, I'm going to throw it all in on a company that I don't know how to do anything for. And it's 100% commission, potentially zero, but yeah, it was the right time.
When both franchise consultants recommended Fibernew, was that because you were looking for something hands-on, or why was that match made? Do you remember?
Yeah. So we had talked, I didn't want to sit at a desk.
Okay.
I wanted to be working with my hands. I wasn't looking for something where I needed necessarily a facility or a staff, you know, which aligns really great with Fibernew. They both also suggested like landscaping opportunities, which was a huge upfront investment, you know, okay, 2, 3, 4 times of what it was to do Fibernew. So that was out of the running almost immediately. You know, they also suggested like disaster remediation, you know, flood cleanup, fire cleanup kind of thing, which, okay, that was also a much bigger commitment to start with. But, you know, then they also suggested like a tutoring school, you know, for math tutoring or helping old folks find their nursing homes. And I would have rather been in corporate life than do either of those things. So those ones were out of the running very quickly. But yeah, Fibernew was a really good match for every day being different, low requirements of how you structure your business and working with your hands.
Gotcha. Okay. So it seemed to cement for you quite quickly. Do you remember what Jess said when you started looking at it? What were some of the conversations?
She may have thought it was more crazy than I did.
Okay.
But, you know, we both went into it with an open mind, learning more about the business, basically. You know, so I went through every video on the website, every blog on the website. She did too. And, you know, I think the biggest concern was, is this something you can actually make a living doing?
Right.
Because we'd never heard of doing anything like this before. And, you know, in watching the videos and doing the validation calls, it became pretty obvious that yes, you can make a living doing it. And I was willing to work hard at doing it. And so once it was something that I became more interested in and excited in, she was very, very supportive, thankfully. So there was no point where it was me convincing Jess that it was the right thing to do. Like it was clear that it was the right thing for us to do. Yeah.
Now you guys have a young family. So I wanted to talk about that. And how does that work in running a business, having a young family and whatnot? Can you just paint a picture?
I've got two boys. Billy is 10. Simon is 8. And we homeschool them, or Jess homeschools them, and I'm around more than I used to be. But having a fiber new franchise allows me the flexibility that I don't miss anything for the boys. I've never missed a baseball game for Billy. I've never missed one of Simon's recitals for, he does hip hop dance. I've never missed one of his recitals. You know, every week I go to Awana at our church with them, and we have a family dinner there that just serves to 100 people at church. And I'm there to help serve and have dinner with the boys while that's going on. You know, Aaron's working in the shop right now. I'm home generally by 3 o'clock each day, you know, and it, I might still be working, you know, till 5 or 5:30 doing office catch up or doing other things or doing some work in the shop, but I'm home and I'm around. And so I get to see the boys way more than I did when I was working office jobs. And you know, between the flexibility of having my own business and the boys being homeschooled, we do what we want to do when we want to do it. We go on vacations at unconventional times, because it doesn't matter if I'm around. It's my business. I close it down for a week, you know, and they don't have to be at school at specific times. They have to, you know, finish their curriculum in the course of the year. And it's just been really, really great for us.
Wow. That's awesome. And yeah. I think Jess does some behind the scenes work in the business as well. Does she not?
She used to do more than she does now. I've kind of got my arms around it. She was posting on social for me for a while. But that, honestly, most of our marketing comes from Google Ads. And I've got that pretty automated at this point with your guys' guidance and then help from my Google Ads rep, that you know, Jess will respond to people on our Facebook page if stuff comes in. But really, it's pretty low volume through there. So lots of moral support. She's a graphic designer by trade. So she also, when her color is really stumping me or even stumping Aaron, you know, she can come in as that third party to look and tell us, like, no, you're nitpicking it. You've got the color right. Or no, you need to be more yellow or whatever. She's got a good eye for color. So she can be helpful for that also when we need her.
That's cool. And are the boys taking an interest at all if you're working in the garage? Should they come out and see what dad's up to? Or
yeah, they come out and ask about projects, and they know kind of what the routine is. And they, you know, if I'm talking about customers at dinner, you know, they can participate in the conversations. They understand what's going on. They know about replacing leather versus dyeing it, and what vinyl is compared to leather, which there's not a lot of 8 and 10 year olds out there that know what the differences are. So it's kind of cool.
Let's actually talk a little bit more about the work that you are doing right now. I know you work in a variety of different markets and do, you know, a variety of different jobs, but can you just tell us about the markets you are doing, the types of jobs you're doing, and if there's any sort of pattern to that?
My largest market by far is furniture. And that's a mix of extended warranty for Ashley Furniture, Penny Mustard Furnishings, which is kind of a local Midwest business as far as I know. And then, you know, periodically we'll get from national accounts that are sending us work, and then retail for customers' furniture in their houses just coming in through Google. So that's our biggest market. Then we do a decent amount of private automobiles. We don't do any car lots, just because there's a lot of competition on the lots from cut rate guys. Rather than competing for $50 car lot jobs, we do mostly private car work, and then do quite a bit of commercial work in restaurants. We do a lot of work for Dave & Buster's in Main Event, a lot of work for LA Fitness, recovering damaged pads in the gyms, and then a fair amount of medical work. So PT equipment, dental offices, chiropractors, an occasional pediatrician's office. Those are our primary commercial type of accounts that keep us busy.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you have a personal favorite?
If I could, I would work just in medical and restaurants. That's where I would prefer to be. It's easy work. It's fast work. It pays well. That's my favorite, but we're pretty good at furniture. And so I don't mind doing that either.
All right. Now, we've mentioned Aaron's name a couple of times. Let's talk about him. He's your technician.
Yep.
Let's talk about his history in your business and what you have him doing, if you don't mind.
Sure. So Aaron started with me on August 1st last year. And my family went up to a family church camp up in way northern Wisconsin. We were almost in Canada. And I was at the wood shop with Simon, my youngest. And I was talking to the older lady who runs the wood shop about what I do. And I said, oh, you know, we do leather, vinyl, and plastic repair. I'm in the suburbs of Chicago. And Aaron was up there volunteering for the week. And he came over and asked me what suburb I live in. And it turns out he lives 5 minutes from my house. So he graduated high school a few years ago and was going to community college when Corona hit. Kind of decided I'm not going to waste my money on college right now and I don't know what I want to do. And it was just e-learning. So he was kind of figuring it out, basically. So when I asked him what he does, he said, I'm not sure. I think I want to learn a trade. I said, well, I've got the trade for you. So he called me when he got back home from camp that summer. And so he's been with me since August 1st, full time. We did the first 3 months as a contractor. And then as of November 1st, he became a full-time employee. The first 3 months were spent with him shadowing me exclusively. So we'd be in the car together every single day doing jobs, teaching him how to do color, how to spray, how to do repairs, color cure repairs, and how to use leather filler, how to hand sew, how to do frame repairs, mechanisms, switches, everything that we do for 3 months. And then he is now self-sufficient. Most days we are still together doing jobs together because we get them done a heck of a lot faster when it's the two of us than doing them independently. But he's also right now in the shop dyeing leather for a customer that we're replacing cushion tops for. So when we come back, if I have office work to do, you know, I said earlier, I get home around 3 o'clock most days lately. It's because we're getting our jobs done so quickly, which is great. And then I can do my office work during actual business hours instead of in the evening. He's working in the shop right now for me, and it's working great.
It sounds like a really good partnership, good setup for sure. Is he at the point where if you guys go out of town on vacation that he can pick up jobs and do them on his own now? Is that?
Yep. Yeah. We went on vacation the first week in November for a week in Disney World, and he worked the entire week. It was the first time in 6 years that I made money while I wasn't at home. It was very, very nice. Yeah, he's been doing great. He can do all the work on his own now. But like I was saying, we get the jobs done faster when we're together. So we've been kind of taking advantage of that and just knocking out more jobs more quickly.
Do you think at some point you'll completely divide and conquer and have two mobile units? Or is it just working so well that you're going to stick to what you have?
Honestly, it's working so well right now that I'm not concerned about changing it. Okay. If we get to the point that workload becomes unmanageable the way it's going now, yeah, we'll split up and I'll send him out on his own. That was going to be the plan originally, and then it's just been working well the way it is. If all of a sudden I start getting spikes in furniture warranty and we end up, instead of getting 10 to 12 jobs a week, are getting 18 to 20 jobs a week, then yeah, I'll probably send him out for a half a day to do some while I go do others, kind of thing. As of right now, he can do work in the shop without me. We have been dividing a little bit like that. Besides when I'm up here doing office work, there are days where if I have enough shop work for him 8 hours, I'll have him at the house for 8 hours working in the shop, and I'll run out and do jobs then too. So we divide a little bit, but not as much as if we were fully independent from each other.
One thing I can't recall if we talked about or not, but upholstery work. Do you have local partners you reach out
yes,
to?
Okay. I have two upholsterers that I use regularly, and then I have three, maybe four more that I use periodically. Those other four, honestly, are so busy that they with their work that they've said, don't bring us anything, which is fine because the other two can carry it. And I'd rather not have to remember who has what job. But yeah, I've got a lady in town who she runs a shop out of her house. You know, she's in her 70s, maybe a little older. She does great work for me. She's fast. She's starting to slow down on her business, you know, just because of her age. So she's getting faster on my stuff too, which is great. And then the stuff that is too big for her, I have I have a referral that I got from her actually. And they've got a 2 or 3 man upholstery shop that they run out of a commercial space. And so when it's a full upholstery job, it will go to them.
Now, we talked about all the different markets you're working within, from furniture to PT to, you know, restaurants to automotive, all that kind of stuff. What are the steps that have brought you to that level that you're at right now? What marketing sales activities have you done?
Honestly, a lot of my commercial accounts I've gotten through FiberNews commercial accounts page, what corporate partners, whatever page that is in Hive. I make a conscious effort to periodically review that list and make sure that I have relationships with those customers. That's why I have Main Event and Dave & Buster's. You know, that they're listed on there.
Two big clients to have, right? I mean,
they're huge. Yeah, huge. I've got a Main Event and a Dave & Buster's in my territory, a second Dave & Buster's that's going into my territory, and then two more just outside of my territory that I'm the closest guy for. I do a lot of work for them. They got a lot of vinyl. So it's very, very good customer for me. I have all of my warranty work for GBS, which is Ashley Furniture's warranty, because their contact information is in Hive. And I've worked to grow that relationship more than just filling out the paperwork, but that's how I started that one.
So what do you mean by that? Is that that's building rapport with the customer service representative? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, part of it, but it's also not just like sending in an email with my paperwork. Okay. You know, I call in to talk to the manager when I, you know, I'm trying to start a relationship, because I don't want it just to get lost in their email box of a new request. I want them to know, besides, you know, the paperwork says I do leather, vinyl, and plastic repair, I want them to know that I also can be a full service technician for them. I want them to know all the zip codes that I cover that are in my territory, but also the ones that are outside of my territory that I'm the closest guy for. And, you know, I want them to know that I've got bandwidth between me and Aaron that we can take as much as you can send us. You know, whatever market it is, we'll do it all.
And that's what they want to hear, right? That you're just here to help them.
Yeah. So, and then, but also, you know, when I'm calling in to the call center, right? You know, we think of a call center as being like hundreds and hundreds of people and, you know, who knows who you're going to get. Well, that's not really the case with the companies that we're working with. The call center for GBS, I get like 5 different people the same time every single time I call in. They all know who I am. They know where I'm located. And they might be sick of it now, but they know that I'm going to say, all right, keep sending over as many work orders as you can. And, oh, we will. Don't worry. You know, like they know who I am now.
If you don't ask, you don't get, I guess is the philosophy.
Right. And I like to think that it keeps me top of mind with them.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I try to be very intentional about that. You know, the bulletin that came out yesterday that said there's 2 new corporate accounts that you guys or connections that you guys have made, I'm going to be calling them if I don't hear from them in a week. You know, I mean, I don't want to jump on them, but I also want them to know, like, I am very interested in working with you, and, you know, I'll do my best to give you aggressive pricing that makes you happy and makes me happy, and really good service that gets things done quickly for you.
Good for you. Warranty company connections is one thing.
Yep.
What else have you done out there?
You know, a lot of my medical work that I have is through sales calls. All the sales calls started with my doctors. My chiropractor, I had carpal tunnel surgery a few years ago. I went straight to that office and said, you guys took great care of me. I want to take good care of you too. They have 4 locations for PT facilities. So I do all of their PT work. You know, I've got dentists that I do work for that I got through Google. I've got dentists I work for that are my neighbors. It's like I live in a dentist colony over here. I've got 4 dentists on my block. So, you know, it's important to let the people that are in your life know what you do, because sure, you know, you may just like wave to your neighbor when you walk down the street, but if you get to know them and know what they do and they know what you do, you can work together and help each other too.
Absolutely. That actually goes back to the summer camp experience when you were describing what you do, and lo and behold, you found a technician through it.
Yeah.
You got to be proud of what you do and talk about it. That's
right.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So your friends and neighbors and connections. I know you mentioned Google has been a source for you as well for some of the residential furniture work. How'd you get the gym work?
You know what? They contacted me. It's LA Fitness, which is listed as a corporate partner, but it's through another company that's local that has LA Fitness kind of cornered in the Chicago area. But so they reached out to me. They were using somebody else who lives in St. Louis, actually. Wow. And actually, I've gotten a lot of this guy's work lately, not just for LA Fitness, but for lots of park districts and several other gym type facilities. This guy moved to St. Louis, and he will come up here for like 3 or 4 days and kind of go around and get as much work as done as he can in those few days, and then leaves and doesn't come back. And whether he finishes the job or not, that's all he does. I make sure that I provide better service than that guy.
Yeah, you could be the local hero.
It's a real weird way that he runs his business, but that's what he would do. So, I just make sure that when we're doing these jobs for these guys, it's not, well, we're here, I booked a day for you, and whatever I get done is what I get done. It's, I'm here every day until it's done. And it can be 2 days, it can be 3 days, but it's done, fully done, quickly on site, to give them the service that they're looking for.
And restaurants, do you remember the connections?
A lot of them have been through sales calls, actually. Sales calls to restaurants also turn into furniture work at people's houses. I don't do as many sales calls as I used to, but when I do, I make sure that everybody knows our full breadth of services. When I sales call, I target specifically restaurants and medical because those are the markets I want to be in. But I make sure they know, like when I give my card to the girl at the desk, that I can also fix her car and her furniture at home and her boat and her private jet and her friend's private jet and her boss's friend's private jet. That's how I get a lot of business that doesn't come through Google. It's through the partners page and sales calling.
What's left for you as far as opportunity? I imagine there's lots, but what's top of mind for you in terms of where?
Yeah, so the center of my territory is a really commercial town. It's got the second biggest mall in the country and just a row 2 miles wide that's only restaurant, hotel, car dealership, restaurant, hotel, car dealership, doctor's office, restaurant, hotel. And honestly, for as much commercial work as I do, I haven't done any of that work. There's a lot of opportunity for me. If I can get into some of those places, that's where I'd like to be next. Places that are closer to home, that are easier to do, faster turnaround time. There's a lot that is coming in on its own organically now over the, from the last 5 years that I'm not spending as much time targeting new business as I could be, which is also a benefit of having Aaron too, so I can go out and try and generate more new leads and new clients.
Do you think you would add another technician to accommodate some of that future growth? Or what would be the tipping point there?
I think a second tech would be the most I think I would ever add. And even that, I don't know if I would want to do that because I don't want to have a facility. Okay. Right now, we meet at the house every day and go out. And if I get to a point where I say, Aaron, you're 100% completely self-sufficient on your own every day, then maybe I would take somebody else to be with me. But as of right now, I don't need to. There's room for him and I to grow and do more business together. Probably like another 50% with Aaron. So I've got some time before I have to make that decision, I think.
It just came to mind when we were talking through that you had a point a few years ago where you made the decision to increase your prices. Let's talk about the net effect of that. It obviously meant more revenue, but did it mean more jobs, same amount of jobs? What was the net effect?
The logic was either you'll get more money per job and do the same number of jobs and you'll make more money, or maybe you'll do less jobs and make the same amount of money, which is not a bad thing either. Honestly, very few people turn down jobs because of pricing. And the people that do turn down jobs because of pricing, it's not because of the price increase, right? Like they weren't going to pay for it anyways. I could go in at $125 and they would say no, You know, so me telling them 250 as my minimum doesn't change that anymore. You know, like it's kind of what Chad says, some will, some won't, who cares? The people who are going to do it are going to do it because they like what they've got and they know it's worth saving. And the people who have junk or aren't willing to put money into it, they weren't going to do it at a lower price.
That's not our customer anyway.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we are a premium service, you know, so I think we are completely justified to charge premium prices. When I came home from training, and or I shouldn't even say that, when we were at training and Chad was talking about pricing, and I it just blew my mind. Like, how can you charge this much to do this kind of stuff? And then now I'm home and I'm like, I want to charge way more than that because it's worth it. You know, and so it took a little while to get confident in my skills and confident in the service that we're providing. But that as soon as that you hit that point, the sky's the limit, you know, and I've told Paul, I have no shame charging what I charge people to do jobs because it's worth it. And the value is there. It's going to last. It's going to get them however many more years out of their sofa or car seat. And I don't feel bad about it.
You're still saving the money over replacement, right? So you are bringing that value.
Almost every conversation I have with folks, especially around furniture, because I get a lot of retail calls, you know, for the 6-seat sectional sofa where four attached cushions, the tops are trashed and we're replacing them. You know, and those are big jobs, right? You know, it could be 2,500, 3,000 bucks. You know, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. And, you know, I give them the number and sometimes people kind of choke, you know? So, well, this is like a $12,000 sofa. And so can I give you some advice? And, oh, sure. Yeah. At a third of replacement cost, it makes sense. You know, and above that, I'll tell you if it doesn't make sense. You know, if somebody calls me in for a sofa from Ashley Furniture that needs all the cushions replaced and I'm high, I'll tell them. I'm honest with my customers. This one's not worth doing it. I'd love to do it. I'd love to take your money, but you should put it towards a new sofa. But if it makes sense to do it, I will tell them that. And most people are appreciative of that. So I try and be really honest and upfront with my customers because they're making a decision about a service that they're not very familiar with either, unless they are a past customer. You know, just like I thought FiberNew was kind of crazy the first time I heard about it. A lot of these people are like winging a prayer, throwing it out on the internet, leather repair, and they find us and they're like, oh, I didn't know this existed. This is great. You know, and they don't know how it's going to last or what to expect from it. And so it's really important to be able to educate them and to be confident while you're educating them, whether they're making a good decision or not.
I'm curious on some of the feedback you get from those customers. I mean, when they see the before and after results of that $12,000 couch and what you can do, I mean, what are some of the things that you see and hear from customers?
They're thrilled. You know, hopefully everybody is getting that type of response because the stuff we do is really amazing. But, you know, the customers are super excited. You know, they've got this sofa that they've loved for 20 years and it's super comfortable for them. And they don't want to get rid of it. Or it's you know, sometimes they have a weird sofa that looks good in their room, but, they're never going to go find it again because it's, you know, 25 years old. Right? And it's a style that's not common anymore. And it's probably outdated, but they like it and it fits their room. And so they're really happy that they can keep what they like. Right. You know, when I got rid of my old car, I didn't really want to get rid of my car. I loved it. I put a lot of money into trying to save it. I still couldn't save it. You know, some things can't be saved, but we do get attached to inanimate objects for some reason. Right. Like it's just a car. It's just a couch. But we like it and it means something to us. We put money into it. And so people are appreciative when they get to save it.
Yeah, there's sentimental value that's attached to furniture for sure. There's no doubt. So if you can help them maintain that, it's obviously goes a long way.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, the green function of FiberNew, I hear about it a lot. You know, okay. I don't necessarily push it a lot. But a lot of people are like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to throw this out. You know, I'm so glad it's not going into a landfill, which, you know, it's just another angle that we can take when we're out there talking to folks.
Yeah,
Yeah. So usually they remind me of it more than it's me reminding them of it, but
oh, yeah.
It is important to people.
Yeah, more and more consumers are really focused on that. So it's definitely something we're going to see more and more of. Let's go back to young Bill 6 years ago to where you're at now and maybe some of the personal changes, life changes before and after, you know, versus starting out to where you're at now. What are some of the things that come to mind for you?
I'm doing way more business than I could have ever imagined, honestly. Okay. You know, when we went through the process of onboarding, and you know, at one point we have to do like our sales projections of where we hope to be as we go, and I said, like, I remember putting the numbers together, and I thought, like, man, if I could do $500 of business a day, I will be so rich. Like, I won't even know what to do. And man, I get mad sometimes if I only do $500 a day, you know, like, so it's a much bigger business than I could have ever imagined, which is great. It has gotten a lot easier to do repairs and do color than I would have ever imagined, you know, even 6-8 months in. You know, it took me a long time to get confident with color. And you know, Jess would, before I started Fibrenew, Jess would have told you I was colorblind. And I know I'm not colorblind, but she also knows I can't match my clothes very well. So she would have told you I was colorblind. But now, you know, I can see color. I see color differently because of Fibrenew. I've gotten good at it. I've gotten fast at it. That felt like a hump that I would never get over. And I did. It makes it much more enjoyable when you're not going into every job kind of like, you know, biting your fingernails. How am I going to do on this one? You know, so I feel much more relaxed in just the day-to-day operations of the business. I have a different level of confidence with customers. You know, we were talking about, I am honest with my customers and tell them whether they should or shouldn't repair something. I feel very confident going in and talking to people at their houses, being open and honest with them. And if somebody is difficult with me, you know, either brushing it off and just kind of continuing on the path and not letting it bring me down, or, you know, messing around with them and joking around and having fun with customers. Yeah, it's nice to work with different people every day. And so I feel like I can take advantage of that also.
Anything you would have done differently? With hindsight being easy as we're talking here.
I mean, it's easy to say now that I wish I had just like kind of let go and believed that I was going to be able to do it and get good at it. But I don't think that would be realistic to say, you know, there's so much pressure when you first start, right? You made a huge investment and, you know, you have a certain level of belief in yourself, but when you're not doing very well and it takes you, you know, 3 hours to do your first car job for $150, you know, then you're thinking like, oh, what am I going to do? There's not enough hours in the day to make $500, you know, but, in hindsight, it's easy to say that I should have let it go and just trusted that I was going to get through the process, but there's no way I could have done that. There's no way.
Yeah, everything must run its course, right? You have to cut your teeth and go through the paces and
definitely.
Yeah, learn what you don't know. There's no way around it.
Trust the process. It's worked for however many other franchises, Fibrenew franchises, for 30 years. You know, it really does work. You just have to trust it and do it, and you know, listen to what the people who know more than you are telling you.
And as Chad always says, first you get good and then you get fast, right? So I think you've alluded to that too, you know, doing a 3-hour job a few years ago now probably takes you 45 minutes or something. So
yeah. I mean, and honestly, now with Aaron on, I told Jess the other day, I need to learn how to reschedule myself. I booked a car job that would have taken me a half a day on my own today. and we were done in 2.5 hours. I was like, oh, we're so fast. You know, the amount of work you can do with four hands is really amazing. So,
it's more job, right? More volume.
I'm still learning, you know, like there's lots to learn.
What about going ahead, Bill? What about 5, 10, 15 years from now? What does Harbor New Palatine look like?
I don't know 5, 10, or 15 years from now, but I know that when I'm done with Fiber New, I want to be the longest running franchise when I retire.
Okay.
So I want everybody who's been doing this longer than me, I want to outlast them all. Like, I love
good
them.
Goal.
So I want to, like, when I retire, I don't know, 35 years, that would be great. I want to just keep doing it because it seriously is the best. I love every day. I love getting up and going out and doing things and being in control of it myself. Whenever that is, I don't know, but I want to be the longest running franchise when I shut down. And I hope, I don't know if it'll happen, but I would love one of my boys to take it over, but I don't know if that'll happen or not. They both have things that they're interested in, and it may or may not be Fiber New, but if it is, that'll be great. And that's something I would hope for.
Very cool. It could be an option for them for sure. Right. If it's there,
I always talk about how great it is. So,
well, just so you know, our longest standing franchisee, actually there are two of them. They're neck and neck. This year is 30 years.
Okay.
So that's what you have to aspire to, but they're still going. So who knows?
Well, so I'm 43. So I could have another 30 years in me. So that'll put me at 36 years. So that would be pretty cool. I would be happy with that. And, you know, I don't expect to work as hard as I'm working now for all 30 years, but I don't plan on retiring young. I don't want to retire. I like what I do, and I like working, and I like being productive. So as long as I can keep doing it, I want to keep doing it.
I think that's a good vision to have. Anything we missed in this conversation, Bill?
I think it's really important to remember how much everybody in Fiber New is pulling on the same end of the rope. You know, the other franchisees are here to help us. Corporate is here to help us. You know, nobody is competing against each other because we're all on the same page. And so I can't say enough good things about it. I like anybody who knows me knows all about Fiber New, and it's a big part of my life. I'm very happy with where I'm at.
Well, we're obviously very happy to have you as part of the family, man. So keep doing what you're doing, all right? You're realizing a lot of success and having fun along the way. It doesn't get better than that.
Nope, it does not.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for your time, man. We'll call it a wrap there, but really appreciate this conversation. It's been fun.
Yeah, it has been. Talk to you later, Jess.
Thanks for listening in to this conversation with Bill Betzel of Fiber New Palatine. If you want to hear more conversations with Fiber New franchise owners, subscribe to the Fiber New Exchange on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any questions or comments about this conversation with Bill, look us up on social and shoot us a note. Just search for Fiber New on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, or you can always find us at fibernew.com. Until next time, take good care. Cheers.